Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come before you this morning and come to church. Thank you for each one that's here today. Thank you that some have not been here for a while, but so glad to see them again. We ask that you would bless our time together today, and Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts through your word. We pray that you would just work through your word in our hearts. Pray for any that are discouraged today that you'd give comfort, conviction where that's needed, your wisdom where that's needed. And Father, that as being here together, we're worshiping. And I pray, Father, that you would use your word to speak to our hearts this morning. Pray for those that aren't here today, that you would look after them and keep them. Pray for Brooke and Ryan, that you would bless them in their new life together, encourage them, and be their guide. Do pray that you would just go before the other prayer request for Brother Robert's dad, that you would heal him and just give the doctors wisdom as they help him to recover there. Thank you that his Uncle Otto is feeling better, and just thank you for moving there as well. We ask that you would help us to be a witness and a light to those that are around us, and we pray that you would bless our time together today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I ask you to turn your Bible, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Do you ever feel forgotten? Do you ever feel forgotten? Like no one in the world cares? You ever just feel that? To the chief musician, a psalm of David. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord. My God, lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest mine enemies say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. But I have trusted in thy mercy, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Our memory verse this week is actually, I could have given two that really come to my mind and speak to my heart. Psalm 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 56:3. And then Hebrews 13:5, he will never leave us nor forsake us. That verse also goes with today's message. This morning we are talking about feeling forgotten. I reckon probably most of us feel forgotten or have feel forgotten occasionally. And David in our psalm today, he is one of the ones that we will look at that has felt forgotten. What does it mean to forget? I know very well what it means to forget. I'm quite good at it. Actually, sadly, the word forget in the Bible means to misplace and therefore to be oblivious to through want of memory or attention. And the thing here for me as I looked at this definition is that, okay, now I'm terrible at losing my keys. My family will, yep, he's bad at it. And so I do lose my keys because I don't always put them in the same place. How smart that would be. But I misplace things, and it's not that I have it put it there. It's just this idea, I have placed it there. But my big problem is the want of memory. I can't remember where I put them. And sometimes we forget people just because we get so busy and so busy
and so busy. But sometimes it's want of attention. Just can't be bothered. You know, just can't be bothered. And so it means to misplace through want of memory or attention. And in the Bible, there are some people in the Bible who were forgotten by others. And as I started looking at this, guys, I was just amazed. I actually had to include a lot of different verses. Because Job is one of those people that felt forgotten. You remember Job? He's that guy that the Lord said in Job chapter 1, "There's no one like this man. Have you considered my servant Job? This man loves me and he serves me faithfully." This is the man everyone used to go to for wisdom. This is the man that everyone used to go to for help. But then the Lord allowed him to be tested by Satan. Had his family taken away from him, all but his wife, just like that. Had his health taken away from him. Had his goods taken away from him. He was in a bad way. And what does Job 19, 13, and 14 say? "He hath put my brethren far from me, and mine acquaintance are very strange from me. My kinsfolk have failed." The idea of the word "failed" there is they've stopped coming to see me. They don't come around anymore. It's like I don't exist. And he says, "My familiar friends have forgotten me." Now, think about it. How does it make you feel when you think you've been forgotten? How does it make you feel when you think you've been forgotten? Well, he's thinking, well, my relatives have forgotten me and my good friends have forgotten me. But he goes further. It's like we're going down. We're getting rougher and rougher because he says, you know what? He says, the maids in my house, the people that serve me, the maids don't even try to help me anymore. They don't want to know where I'm at. I call my servant, maids, the men, nobody, they don't care where I'm at. They stay away from me. My breath is strange to my wife, though I entreated for the children's sake of mine own body. Yea, young children despise me. I arose and they spake against me. All my inward friends abhorred me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. You know, here Job was. He had all these people around, but he was feeling alone. He was feeling forgotten. This man felt the pressure of being alone. Sometimes the needy are forgotten. Psalm 9:18 says, "For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever." Those that are in need, sometimes either through busyness or through lack of care, those that have real needs, they're left behind and forgotten. Sometimes people that we've helped the most will forget us. You remember the story of Joseph, how that he was promised that his mom and dad and 10 brothers would bow to him? Do you remember that promise and him being thrown in the pit, sold as a slave, sold and then bought and then accused of sexual misconduct and then thrown in prison while he's in prison? Time and time again, beautifully say, the Lord is with him. Time and time again, Joseph, he does the right thing, and he sees the chief butler down. He says, "What's wrong?" He says, "I had a dream, and I don't know what," and the baker too. And he interprets the butler's dream. He says, "Butler, in 3 days' time, you're going to get your job back." And he says, "When you get your job back, will you please make sure that you remember me? Tell Pharaoh that I'm innocent. I've been accused. I haven't done anything. Please help me get out of here." And what happened? Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. He got what he wanted. Sometimes
people that we've helped the most, that we've invested the most in, they will forget us. And this one gets us. Can a woman forget her sucking child? What's the answer to that? What do we normally think would be the answer to that? No way! That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? No way. She's gonna show love to that son. The Lord says, well, yeah, they may forget, yet will I not forget. You mean a mom can forget to show love to her son? Here's four moms that are proof that that happens. These are relatively recent in the news. They either killed their child or their children had to be taken away from them in drastic circumstances because the mom neglected the child so badly. They just forgot them. Sometimes we feel neglected because of our relationship status, or whether we have children or not, or whether we're married or not. 1 Samuel 1:11. You remember Hannah? Elkanah had two wives. He had Hannah, who couldn't have children, and this other wife had at least two children. And the other wife would just rub it in Hannah's face that she had children. And Hannah felt forgotten. She wanted children so badly. And the Lord was not giving her children. Her husband was not giving her children. She felt forgotten. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. You know, when we look around at how the Lord is working in other people's lives and we say, well, why is the Lord not doing that for me? Why is the Lord not allowing that for me? Why am I the one not having that? Do you ever feel forgotten? Hannah felt forgotten because she didn't have children. Leah felt forgotten because she was not the favorite wife. Thankfully, we don't have that problem today. With having to have a favorite wife. But Jacob met Rachel and he said, woo woo, I want to marry this lady. So he served the 7 years for her that Laban required, and he went into her that night. It was dark. He woke up the next morning and lo and behold, it wasn't Rachel that he had spent the night with. It was Leah. And what did Leah say? What did Jacob say? Oh, it's you, Leah. How would you like to be hit with that? Oh, it's you. Well, from then on, she finds herself fighting for Jacob's attention, And she saw, and it says in verse 30 and 31, and he went in and also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord, and well, that's enough for right now. The Lord's going to make Leah be able to have kids. Why is it that she gets love and I don't? Why is it that she gets the attention? I should get it. I'm older. Sometimes they felt that God had forgotten them. You ever feel like people around you forget you?
Well, do you ever feel like God forgets you? Do you ever feel like He forgets you? Wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? Sometimes we can feel like the Lord has forgotten our group. And whether that's our family, a church, an extended family, we can feel like the Lord is against us. Now, here, it's very possible that it could be because they had gotten away from the Lord. And you know what? And we'll hit this again in a minute. Sometimes when we get away from the Lord, we think the Lord has forgotten us. We think, well, He doesn't want to talk to me. I've been doing my own thing for so long, and we feel like God doesn't care about what's going on in our lives anymore. Psalm 42:9 says, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You look at Psalm 42, and I hope you'll take time to look at it. In that chapter, he talks to himself a lot. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you so burdened? Why are you depressed? Why are you so down? And he said, Lord, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forgotten where I'm at? And you notice the pressure. You can feel it because, you know, when we feel forgotten, he says that he is in mourning. He's feeling like God doesn't care. And it's just breaking his heart. Do you ever feel like God doesn't care? That he's forgotten you? Do you ever feel that way? Isaiah 49:14-15. But Zion said, Lord hath forsaken me. Now this is because they had sinned. This is what I was talking about earlier. And my Lord hath forgotten me. They're feeling forsaken. They're feeling like God has left them. And he hasn't. He says at the end of that verse, after he talks about the can the woman forget her sucking child? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. I'll never forget you. Sometimes we feel like others forsake us or others do forget us. Sometimes we may feel like God forgets us. But notice in Psalm 13:1 in our passage for today, he says to the chief musician, a psalm of David, how long will thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? David felt like God had forgotten him. Here he is, the king, the man after God's own heart, and he is feeling as if God has forgotten. So what do we do when we feel forgotten? What do we do when we are forgotten? When we're misplaced like a set of keys? What do we do? Well, the first thing we can do is to be careful what questions you keep asking. Be careful what questions you keep asking. Here in Psalm 13:1, did you notice how many questions are in Psalm 13:1 and 2? Look at it with me just for a moment. How many questions, how many question marks do you count there? How long will thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? How long, Lord? And it's like, don't we do this though? Don't we bullet these questions at the Lord and we say, now this is just us being real, okay? This is just being real. You know, we're not trying to impress anyone here. And David's definitely not. Lord, what are you doing? Lord, I don't understand. Lord, something's got to be done. Lord, I don't understand. Will you please help, Lord? What am I supposed to do next? And you get this raw emotion, and man, he's feeling it. Man, he is feeling forgotten. And man, it is breaking his heart. How long, Lord? So the first thing we do is we need to be careful what questions we keep asking the Lord. The reason I say is because where were all those questions, though they were to the Lord and His were too, who were they only about?
Me, 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 me.
Lord, what about me? Lord, what about me? Lord, what about me? It's all about me. And so when we feel forgotten, and you know the thing is, these are genuine hurts. These are genuine, and the Lord doesn't put a parenthesis here and say, David should not have asked those questions. How dare you? But the Lord hears those questions, and what does He do? When we get all those kind of questions going, it puts the focus on us. In fact, going back to Psalm 42 just for a minute, if David would have kept going with verses 3, 4, and 5, with those kind of questions, it wouldn't have helped him. So when we have those kind of questions, can I ask us to say, wait just a second. What kind of questions are you asking the Lord right now? What kind of questions am I asking the Lord right now? Are they helping me actually find a solution to this problem, or are they just compounding the problem? Because you know what? I think it's Ephesians that tells us the devil gets in our ear with those fiery darts. He's telling you, God doesn't care. God doesn't care. God doesn't care. Do you think God cares about you? Look at your circumstances. Do you think God is powerful? Do you thank God? Do you thank God? And what's our answer going to be? No, no, no. I see what you're saying. No. And he just fuels the doubt. He fuels the unbelief. So the first thing we need to do is we need to put a check on the questions we keep asking ourselves. Because you see that raw emotion that David had. But that raw emotion, it needs to be brought under. Sort of like, you know, we've been talking about love lately. Love is emotional. But it's about controlled emotion. He says in verse 3, he says, and consider me, O Lord my God, light my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lord, please help me to see what you're doing. And we wonder, well, Lord, are you gonna show me what you're doing? I can't make it. Lord, if you don't show me the path ahead right now, I don't know if I can make it. Do you ever have trouble waiting when you're feeling forgotten? Do you ever have trouble waiting on the Lord to show Himself powerful, to answer a prayer request? I do. And he, David, felt like that the Lord should be answering. He should be answering those questions. Lord, I've asked you these 5, 6 questions. I want the answers right now. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says what? There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, and that He will provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Let's don't tell the Lord how long we are to be in a trial. Lord, I can be in this trial for about 45 more minutes, and I'm done with it. When He says, 1 Corinthians 10:13, that He will give us the grace to bear it, to uphold it. But I don't know what the Lord is doing. This is very hard, and I don't like not being in control. I don't not like seeing what... I'd rather know what's happening next. I want to know how He's going to answer this need, how I'm not going to be forgotten anymore. I want to know now. When the Lord says, you know what? In my timing. And then the pride thing. You know, we feel forgotten, but what? That pride thing comes in. It says, well, they've not been forgotten. The enemy's not been forgotten. You know, we like We like all our ducks in a row. We like to be above the enemy, not humble. We need to be careful what questions we're asking. This little girl, her name was Elizabeth. She had questions to the Lord. Here she is. She's waiting on the Lord to provide her that husband. And he has not provided it. And she keeps asking the Lord, "Lord, when are you going to provide me my husband? When are you going to provide me my husband?" And this is what she says. She says, "Not only have I spent years asking the wrong questions about life, I've also been asking them in the wrong order. My first question ought to be, who is God?" So she says, "You know what? I've been asking the wrong questions. I've just had them out of order. I've had the wrong emphasis in my questions." She goes on to say, "When I see his character as it has been displayed in his word and his actions throughout history, I'll know how unconditional and unchangeable is the answer to this question. How does he feel about me? And when I know how outrageously he loves me, chances are that my next question will be, how can I respond to this love?" So we need to question our questions that we're asking. Second, and this brings us to that, we need to trust in God and his plan and purpose for us. What did she say? What did Elizabeth say? She said, and I love this, "And when I know how outrageously he loves me." Do you know that even when you feel forgotten, that God outrageously, wonderfully, marvelously, magnificently loves you? Isn't that a blessing? In fact, he says, this is what David, instead of continuing with the questions, and instead of continuing with the, "What about my enemy? What are others going to think?" He does what? He says, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." You know, we've been talking about love a lot lately. Guess what that word mercy is? It's his love. He was going to trust in his God's love for him. So even when he felt forsaken, even when everything seemed to go against him, even when his enemy seemed to be on top of things, and everybody else wasn't forgotten, but he was going to rest in the fact that God loved him. Then the last thing this morning, not only be careful what questions we ask, but we need to trust God, but we need to determine that you will praise God for his work in your life. Now we just finished reading verse 5, and he says, "I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation." Have we been anywhere, gone anywhere, any time elapsed before we get to verse number 6? Nope. But in verse number 6, we see him praising God. He says, "I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Now, maybe if you sing like me and you started to sing at work or in public, most people might say, "This is shocking." But you know what? There is that part where we can be singing to the Lord, acknowledging him. "Thank you, Lord, for the help through this day. Thank you, Lord, for promising me your love." Instead of worrying about the feeling forgotten, David says here, "You know what? I'm going to sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. I'm not going to let me feeling forgotten take away from the fact that I know he loves me beyond comprehension." Remember we were doing Leah and Jacob and Rachel earlier? Well, Leah's feeling the pain of not feeling loved, of being forgotten.
And so the Lord sees it too, and it says, and when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked on my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. So you know what? She took comfort in the fact that the Lord saw her and that he moved on her behalf with the first baby. But you know what? Did her husband love her anymore? She was still second. She was still forgotten by Jacob compared to Rachel. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. So the Lord saw her with the first baby, and she said, you know what, I'm so glad. Isn't it wonderful that the Lord does see us? And here, isn't it wonderful that the Lord does hear us? You know what? She still has that nagging in her soul. Because why? Well, she's wanting that husband of hers to not forget her. She's wanting to be top. She's wanting first place. But notice in verse 34, she has another baby. And she conceived again and bare a son and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. Lord, if I can get everything right, if I can get all the circumstances right, surely my husband will love me. If I can get all my ducks in a row, everything working just what I won't feel forgotten anymore. Doesn't work either. What does she do? Verse 35, and she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. You know what? I think she just determined, you know what, my husband, he may never remember me. I'm not going to be his favorite. I'm not going to be loved more, but you know what, I can praise the Lord. She made up her mind, not that, okay, yeah, the Lord was looking at her, the Lord was hearing her, okay, good. But things still weren't going the way she wanted. She tried the thing about getting everything going her way. That didn't work. So you know what she decided? I'm just going to praise the Lord. And just a little sideline. Guess who Jacob was buried with? Was it Rachel or Leah? He was buried with Leah. Now, the Lord never did give more love for Leah than for Rachel, but she learned to trust him. And so, can a woman forget her sucking child? Yes. Notice it says, behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hand. Thy walls are continually before me. Does that not bless our hearts? That our walls are continually before him, that he knows exactly what's going on with us. He knows why we are feeling forgotten or are being forgotten. So when you feel forgotten this week and the weeks to come, be careful what questions you're asking. Trust in God and his plan and purpose for you, and then determine you will praise God for his work in your life. Let's ask the Lord to help us. Lord, is there someone that I can speak to, that I can pray for, or something to make them not feel forgotten? But let's find our rest, our comfort in him. Not how things are going in our lives,